We bless the name of our living God. Invite somebody to church with you this morning, for this is the day that the Lord has made. He's worthy to be praised. Come on in. Invite somebody to church with you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Come on in. Thanks. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. For he is worthy. Worthy. For he is good. Yes, he is good. Worthy. Worthy. For he is good. Yes, he is good. Each and every one of you, our modern affirmation, as it is, those of you who have your iPhones, iPads, it went out on an email, but it just states this: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is all over his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth, and every heart says amen. That's what we believe. That's a doctrinal affirmation. Yes, we are one church. We make up the body of Christ, and we give God the glory. Now, as we ask that you give Bethel Music Ministry a hand as they come in their own.
Amen, church. Join us as we sing the hymn, Victory in Jesus, 370 in your United Methodist hymnal.
Seen and unseen, and for that we are grateful. It's praying time, church. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him right now. We as the church have to continue to pray. Man ought to always pray and faint not. Brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of chaos and confusion. This 26th homicide in Peoria. My heart is heavy. But church, we cannot give up. We must continue to pray and know that God is able. He hears our prayers, and I pray for you, you pray for me, and we can watch God change things. I'm a living witness. And we must continue to pray ye one for another, praying for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much with God. James 5:16. Let us remember Bishop Beard in your prayers as he's still in recovering, and our interim Bishop Gregory Palmer as he and the entire cabinet continue to provide leadership for the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. We give God the glory for them. We need to pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, remembering all of our sick and shut in, our caregivers, those who are in the nursing homes and the hospitals. Let us continue to lift up the Wilcox family, Brother Grant Morgan, Brother Charlie Burke, James D. Smith Jr., Katie Duncan, Lois Coleman, Reverend and Mrs. Stewart, Cedric Kraft, Garrett O'Donnell, Karen Thompson, Freddie Jackson, Brother Oliver Moody needs your prayers this morning. Sister Evelyn Coach, Joyce Johnson, Barbara McGee, Erna Roberts, and Stephanie Story, who is Sister Sarah Smiles' sister. Let us keep them lifted up. There may be others that are in need of prayer. Those of you joining us online, you can type those names in for loved ones. Let us remember those serving in the armed forces who are on foreign soil this morning. There's nothing too hard for God as they protect our precious liberties. We can pray in the name of Jesus. Well,
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Something about that name.
Let us focus on that name that is above every name. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. In that name there is healing. In that name there is restoration. In that name there is salvation. For that very name means Jehovah is our salvation. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his shed blood on Calvary, that we now have a faithful high priest, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in our time of need. Lord, if we ever needed you before, we sure do need you right now. Throughout this land and country, in this community of Peoria that has been ravaged and plagued by senseless acts of random violence, perpetrators walking these streets, God, we pray for your mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God, we need you in a way to intervene. We need your divine intervention. We're reminded of what your word tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, God would look into you. We can't do it. We don't have the answers. So we need you to show up in a supernatural way. God, afflict the enemy that is ravaging our children's mind. Father God, it's demonic oppression, where they think right is wrong and wrong is right, and they're acting out. God, we need unity in the body of Christ. We need unity in the community. So show up, oh God. Have your way throughout this community. Let us as the body of Christ be able to stand as a beacon of light. We ask blessings upon Bethel United Methodist Church. We want to be that city on a hill that will not be hid, that can show forth the light of Jesus. We got to let our light shine that men, women, boy and girl can see our good works and know, oh God, that the glory doesn't belong to you, to belong to us, that it belongs to you. And so let us, Father God, stand as light bearers in the darkness. We need you, oh God. Somebody on their bed of affliction needs you this morning. God, the petition of names has gone before you. Touch them where they are at with the feeling of their infirmity. God, we pray for peace. We pray for justice to prevail. Bind a broken heart. Somebody needs a mind regulator this morning. They've made their way out to the house of worship and prayer. And oh God, we pray that you can speak to their situation through your servant. I am a yielded vessel of clay. Mold me, make me, shape me. Guide my lips and my tongue to speak those things that are truth to power, that your name will be glorified and magnified. We speak a word of healing, oh God, on today. We want to have a prophetic utterance to speak truth to power. So have your way, oh God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove, with all of thy quickening power. Kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold, cold hearts of ours. And oh God, we'll be so ever mindful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in the mighty, majestic, and marvelous name of your darling Son, Jesus the Christ. We pray and believe. Every heart says amen, amen, and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh. Sisters and brothers, we would be remiss if we did not honor those who had October birthdays. Sister Johnny Locker, Sister Xavier, Thomas Patelis, Gabriel Andrews. I'm so grateful to have celebrated 47 years of life on the 11th. And Bethel, you've been good to this pastor, and I'm grateful. Not only was it my birthday, but you all extend your love and appreciation for pastors. This has been a difficult year. But God is with us. He's walked with us every step of the way. In the midst of a global pandemic, he's still God, and he's still sending folk by. We're still reaching the masses, and I'm so grateful. Sister Barbara McGee celebrates a birthday. Jorica Davis, Sharon Kilgore celebrated a birthday. We give God the glory. Brother Eddie Caballero, Malika Gilliam, Flora Doss has a birthday, amen. And amen. She's with us all the way from Tennessee. Bless the name of our living God. Brother William Marks celebrates a birthday. It's a blessing when we have our membership throughout the United States, and every once in a while they can stop in and see what God is doing. He's up to something, and we would be remiss if we didn't shout out those who are celebrating marital bliss. We got Larry and Felicia Wood celebrating 2 years, amen, of this month. We give God the glory for what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. We bless the name of our living God. Sisters and brothers, we would also be remiss if we didn't invite those of you who are joining us online. Giving is very much a part of worship, and we thank God for those of you who continue to support and undergird the mission and ministry of this local church. We invite those who are joining us. You can submit your tithe and your offering. For those of you who are not in person, we have the apparatus set up that you can give online, PayPal. It is secure. You can go to www.peoriabethel. You can submit your tithe and your offering electronically. It's designated once you hit that donation tab on the website. And we thank you for those who continue to give as God has blessed you. We couldn't make it or survive without your support. And God has been a provider. We want to bless the gifts at this time. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given unto thee. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Father, bless the gifts, bless those that gave, desired in their heart, those who could not. Take it, bless and multiply for kingdom building and an expansion. Amen. Put your hands together for Bethel Music Ministry, our praise team as they come. And then after our praise team, the next voice you will hear will be that of our liturgist, Sister June Tyler. We'll be reading Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52 after our music ministry.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. 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 I lift my hands, I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I bow my head, I honor you, Lord. I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I bow my head, I honor you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. morning, saints. No, about 3 o'clock this morning, I was sick. And I prayed and I said, God, make me well so I can go to church and praise you. And then come this morning, and I said to my husband, I don't think I better go. It's raining and cold out there. And then I remember I hadn't even tried to get ready to go. So I said, Jesus, I'm going to make it on anyhow. Isn't God good? And you know, we got to live up to what we promise him. We got to live up to it. Now we're going to be reading to you today from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 to 52. Our pastor will be posing the question, what can Jesus do for you? Based on what he's already done for me, I know what he can do for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear now these blessed words. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated.
He's faithful.
Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. 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 I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. My God is faithful, 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 faithful is our God. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. He's faithful.
Faithful,
faithful is our God. Faithful, faithful, faithful. yes, I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. My God is holy, 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 holy is our God. Holy,
holy,
holy, holy is our God. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Holy, holy, holy is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me, and I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. His name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus is our God. Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus is our God. Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me, and I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all.
Taking back what the devil has stolen, we gotta take it back. Oh, I'm grateful today that we serve a risen Savior. The enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And brothers and sisters, he blesses us according to our faith. We gotta understand that this world is not our permanent abode. It's just a temporary residence. We are supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves can't break through and steal. See, the enemy won't have any power over there, for he'll be cast off. But brothers and sisters, it's important that you know God has given to each of us power, dominion, and authority. We gotta be able to unpack this community. We as Christians, as blood bought, the redeemed in Jesus, have to speak life over our community. Speak life over our children. Speak life over our churches. And watch God begin to move in a mighty and miraculous way. I was a little down this week. We're meeting and trying to do things, and the enemy still is running rampant. But brothers and sisters, we cannot grow weary in well-doing, because the Bible tells us we'll reap if we faint not. And greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. He overcame the world, and we too shall overcome the world. But you got to believe it, and you got to know that he's more than able. As we ask and prepare our hearts and minds for the preached word, we want to usher in his presence, that the gifts that are within us be stirred up, and that somebody can hear a word from on high. You've come for many different reasons. We've come to worship, but it's the word that sustains and keeps us. And so we ask his precious anointing to fall afresh on us. And them that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Help me out. Anointing, fall on me. Lord, send your anointing.
Anointing,
let it fall
on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Father God, it's preaching time. Time where Tyson Parks decrease and the manifestation of your precious Holy Spirit, the true preacher, come forth. The Paracletos, the one called alongside to aid. I can do nothing without your power. So as I decrease, Holy Spirit increase. Enlarge our territory to speak a word to your people. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Every heart says amen. Amen. Sister June read our scripture lesson coming out of the lectionary, and it kind of piggybacks off of last week. And it's a very familiar passage of scripture and poignant at the same time. I'm going to lift up these two verses from which we drew the subject, and I thought and I posed it in the form of a question. Let us look at verses 49 and 50. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Verse 51. In answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." So out of verse 51, I lifted up the question, and I'm posing it to you all. Ask yourself, what can Jesus do for you? What can Jesus do for you? This passage deals with blind Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar. In Hebrew economy, to be blind or lame or maimed, it puts you at a lower social status. But there's something that happened with this text and with this individual, Bartimaeus. He didn't let his physical condition reflect who he could be in Jesus. The brother had faith, because he was blind. He couldn't read. He was limited with his ability. You know, in ancient Hebrew economy and Jewish culture, blind and lame people could not enter into the gates of the king. And you can reference 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, verse 8, and it tells you that King David didn't allow for blind and lame people to come into the palace. You know, that's like us. We got people who are struggling with situations in their lives, and we want to place stipulations on them. You know, can we be real? We got a generation that is given over to drugs and alcohol and pills, and they need to have hope in something outside of themselves. And, you know, people get hurt by people. Are you hurting people? Hurt people? We have generations who have succumbed to a base of nature, and all they know is the streets. Even people who go to church, all they know is what they know. We have to provide hope for them. You got to share the love of Jesus with people. Now, there's something in this text that was intriguing to me. Because how many of you know there's always haters in the midst? There's always somebody trying to block your progress, even in the church. They don't like you because you're doing too much work. They don't like you because you're not doing enough. You can't win for losing. Am I right about it? It ain't just in the church. Oh, it's out there on that job too. She thinks she all that. He think he is the boss. So you know how they talk. All you trying to do is the best you can with what you've been given. Am I right about it? I know it happens, because it happens to me. And it happened to me, especially as a first year pastor. You know, I gotta make some self-detect application. You know, I my own admission, I wasn't a stellar student. I didn't go straight through out of high school. I went to college, but I didn't graduate in 4 years. So they coined that now. There's a new terminology. They say non-traditional student. I was a non-traditional student. And so, you know, because I wasn't focused. Things happened. But then when God began to work on me and turn some things around in my life, non-traditional students get looked at and viewed differently. And some people put up blockers in the way. Imagine that. It happens. So I connected with this text. I trusted God to make it through. There's blockers in the church because we have that legalism. You know, you can't serve here because you haven't been a member, or, you know, we want to put up roadblocks and keep people from participating. We want to relegate them to a lower status. It happened in the Bible. Because if you read the text, and I'm starting at verse 46, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar, a man of lower status, named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the road. Then he heard that Jesus the Nazarene began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He heard about Jesus. Now keep in mind, he can't see. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. "Man, shut up. What are you doing? That's Jesus. What you yelling for? And you can't see." But somebody had to tell him, or he heard that man was coming. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture passage that says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man couldn't see, and some of us are blind. You know, the metaphorically, blind means you cannot see spiritually, but blindness keeps you relegated to a lower status. Even intellectually, brothers and sisters, we gotta have faith to come to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, when they told him to shut up, to be quiet, hold your peace. You know, I know we sometimes would be classified as the church of the frozen chosen, because we were the intellectual elites, you know, the Methodist tradition. I understand it, I get it. I came from the AME. We were the upper echelon as well. But my brothers and my sisters, you got to understand. Sometimes if you want to hear from the Lord, you got to get indignant. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." They say, it don't take all that. Getting demonstrative. But let me help somebody. Culturally, coming from an oppressed people group, the only thing that brought us over was hope in Jesus. That one day freedom was gonna come. And you think I'm standing on the back of ancestors gonna sit up here like a bump on a log and not say, "Thank you, Jesus." And when all hell is breaking loose in the community, I'm going to cry out like blind Bartimaeus did, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Because enough is enough. We got folk dying in the streets. We got to cry out. Just like Bartimaeus did. Lord, help us. Am I right about it? Because Jesus didn't disregard the blind person of a lower status. You know, it's funny how God works. Boy, he'll take your enemies and make them your footstool. Them people that you don't have favor with, he can turn that thing around. You know, something profound here happened. The same people who tried to stop and block Bartimaeus, Jesus said, "Go get him." And guess who had to go fetch him? The same people that tried to block him. Verse 48 and verse 49. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out, "All the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man. Maybe they didn't want to, but they had to call the man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he's calling you. Is Jesus calling you? Is he calling you to service? Is he calling you to help somebody on this journey called life? Even before the pandemic hit, Peoria being a much larger metropolitan area than where I came from, in the rural community of Galesburg, was only about 30,000. You have 112,000 plus, and then the greater Peoria metro area is close to 250,000 folk. I saw something here that I didn't see in Galesburg, and I probably hadn't seen outside of Chicago or the Quad Cities. You got folk panhandling. We got folk that are holding up signs, hungry for food. As Christians, what do you do when you see that? It's just a question. Because we got to be a blessing. And I'm guilty. Sometimes I'm thinking to myself, there's jobs. But you don't know what a person's going through, and you don't know their condition. Just like them people told Bartimaeus to shut up. They didn't know God can still use you. He can still help you. Bartimaeus kept crying out. Some folk can't cry out. They just holding the sign. And as representatives of Jesus the Christ, how we treat them is very important. I'm not telling you to give up everything, but do never close up your bowels of compassion. You don't know who you helping on this journey, and you might empower them to get on their feet to get that job. So these same people that tried to block Bartimaeus, they had to get it. And God used it to get Bartimaeus to what he needed, and he called on Jesus. When he said, Son of David, there's something poignant and very profound here. You often heard me say that Jesus is the Son of David, the seed of Abraham. Through David's line, the Messiah, the one who would redeem humanity from their sins, would come. So Bartimaeus, even though he couldn't see, he knew that Jesus was the Son of David. He knew that this is the Messiah who came to give sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He made the lame to walk, the deaf to talk. So what can Jesus do with your situation? What can he do for you right now, even in Peoria? What can he do for you? We need the Lord to help us. We got to get out. Talk to these young folk. Establish relationships. Treat someone with a little bit more kindness. Had the brethren just brought and ushered the man to Jesus, things could have been a little bit easier. But how many of you know Jesus works through difficult situations? But he recognized, he called Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus had to respond. Is God calling you? If he calls you, you got to respond. He recognized the voice of the Lord, even though you know he couldn't see him, but he recognized his voice because the people told him, the Lord is calling you, take heed. Get up. Go to him. And you know, after he stood up, verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you gotta shake off what might distract you, what might keep you bound. That's friends, sometimes it's family, Sometimes it's that negative crowd that wants to keep you relegated. You know, sometimes we're trying to hold folk back. But Bartimaeus got up and threw his coat off, his cloak off, and he got to him. Now, he couldn't see, but he made his way. Boy, that takes faith. What is faith? Stepping out there when you can't see the way. Did that brother go to him? What can Jesus do for you? I don't know, and I don't have the answers, but I know that Jesus can help change some things in this community. And there's another point here. When God calls you, you must be ready to respond. He shook off and threw off and left everything that could have hampered him or blocked his blessing. Sometimes you got to get rid of that baggage, those burdens that can block your growth and block your blessing. And my next point is this. Don't let people's opinion. Is impossible with God, and sometimes you have to think that those things that are insurmountable, God can still provide blessing in the midst of it. Don't always listen to the people in your ear. They told him to shut up and be quiet. I used our vernacular. The text didn't say shut up, but they told him be quiet. Brothers and sisters, if you have the faith, see, we can learn from blind Bartimaeus. His faith is what healed him. He couldn't see it. I'm reminded of that old song. I'm looking for a miracle. I expect the impossible. I see the invisible. I feel the intangible. Hey, because what? The sky is the limit to what I can have. You have to believe it and receive it and know that God can perform it today. I'm trusting God for a breakthrough in this community. We cannot be scared. We, as the church, we cannot operate with a spirit of fear. We're God's representatives in the earth realm. And so I'm stepping out there on faith. And we can watch God change and turn this thing around. We can't listen to the people who are pessimistic, the say-nayers and the naysayers. We got to tell them, get out of my way. When you're coming with me, just move. Don't block my blessing. How many, what can Jesus do for you? How many of you know God's got a blessing with your name on it? I believe it, and I receive it. Bartimaeus was blessed because of his faith. Now, when I was looking it up, that word faith in the original text means fidelity. It means belief. It meant also he had moral resolve that he knew God could perform a miracle. Son of David, he knew the Messiah was there, and he went to him, even though he couldn't see. And Jesus restored his sight. We have record. What can he do for you? What can he do for Peoria? You have to know who he is. That's the first key. Huh? Because Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This same Jesus that would ultimately have to go to Calvary. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. And this same Jesus is the one that I talk about and preach about Sunday after Sunday. If you don't know him, I want you to know him.
because I know a man from Galilee. If you've been in sin, he can sure enough set you free. He's the son of David. He's the seed of Abraham. He's a stone hewn out of a mountain. He's a meek and humble lamb. Don't get it twisted. He had to lay down his life for your sin and mine. But he didn't stay dead. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. He stayed there for 3 days. But let me tell you, on that third day, Jesus got up. And when he got up, he didn't get up with some power. He didn't get up with half power. He didn't get up with black power. He didn't get up with white power. When he got up with all power. That power that can have you walk right. That power that can have you talk right. That power that restores sight to the blind. That power that can transform and change this community. So I ask you the question one more time. What can Jesus do for you? I'm glad today that I know Jesus. He saved me. He set me free. He called me off of my deathbed. And now I'm walking. I'm talking in his marvelous light. Give God the glory for the great things he has done. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but he made death stand back and behave. I'm not standing here today under my own power. I got that resurrection power because Jesus called me from darkness into his marvelous light. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus, he took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. I can see now that the rain is gone. What can Jesus do for you? Won't he make a way? Have you called on him? Have you tried him? I know he's all right. He makes a way out of no way. I'm glad that I know him. I know what he's done for me. What can he do for you? We are going to turn this thing around in Peoria. And I'm so glad that I know he keeps on making a way. Y'all sing that song over and over and over again. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he would sacrifice his life. But I'm glad. I said I'm glad. I'm glad that he did. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to follow him wherever he wants me to go. And where he leads me, I'm going to follow. What can Jesus do for you? Oh, when we think about the magnitude of what he would ultimately do. The next chapter, 11, talks about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He would ultimately have to die. Because he took on the sins of the whole world. But I'm glad, my brothers and my sisters, I know what he can do for me. The question is, what can he do for you? Some of you are out there struggling. Some of you, you feel like you're on an island all by yourself. And I know, because when I was running from Jesus, that's how I felt. But you have to surrender. And you cannot let people define your relationship with God. Bartimaeus, they told him to be quiet, to shut up. But he kept crying out. Brothers, that's what you have to do. You have days to the utmost. And I'm so glad. Me. But do you know what he can do for you? Because the gospel is designed to challenge you. in sermon preparation. This came out of the lectionary, but it piggybacked on what happened last week. Because he asked the disciples the same question, James and John. What do you want me to do? Up. And then he heals Bartimaeus because of his faith. It was unwavering. So when you ask of God, you gotta ask in faith. And when he shows up, don't be surprised. You've been praying for it. He controls all time. I don't care what the doctor says. It matters what Jesus said. And he gives life. He speaks life. And I speak life over this community. Will you trust him? Will you believe him? Because he can do it for you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. What can Jesus do for you?
He's never failed me yet. Whoa, can't turn around. You've come this far by faith.
There may be one today as we stand all over the building.
This far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word.
There may be one.
He's never failed.
Maybe you've been struggling, and the question has been posed. What can Jesus do for you? We have to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. You can come to the altar for prayer. He can change any situation. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? He can turn it around. It takes faith, sisters and brothers. Unwavering faith. Blind Bartimaeus had faith. Do you have faith today that God will work it out? Can't turn around. We come this. The second call goes out. Is there one for special prayer? You need God to show up in a mighty way. Don't be. You must come to the altar unencumbered. Be like Bartimaeus. Throw off those cloaks. Throw off those things that'll hinder you. Make your way to the altar for prayer. And say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. He can do it in your life. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? You can come for special prayer. He's calling you. Will you respond? He told them to go get him, to go get Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus had to respond. Are you responding today? Do you need God to work in your life? You can come to the altar for prayer. Do you believe it? Will you receive it?
Oh,
oh, oh, can't turn around.
We've come this far by faith.
Sisters and brothers, stretch your right hand of faith to our sisters who have come to the altar. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come here with a few of your believing children, God, asking that you would touch them. Touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Let them know that you're with them. And just as blind Bartimaeus made his way to you, God, they came. They threw off the cloaks. Lord, touch them in a mighty and miraculous way. You know all about them. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're your daughters, oh God. Have your way in their lives. We pray for healing where there needs to be healing. We pray for restoration where there needs to be restoration. These are your redeemed children. Touch them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Have your way. Majestic, everlasting, all faithful. You are a God of all grace and comfort. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and believe. You may go back to your seats. Leave those burdens right here. And know that God is able. It's on the way. What can God do? What can Jesus do for you? He wants us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. There may be one out there, even on Facebook. You can connect with Bethel. You can go to www.peoriabethel.org. Hit interested in Bethel. God is able. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And he's already done something miraculous in my life, and he keeps on making a way. I give God the glory, and I give him the praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Leaning on the Lord,
I make no apologies for how we worship. Coming through degradation, coming through oppression, God has made a way. I'm gonna get undignified for my Jesus, because he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. It's not pure emotionalism. It's because I know him in a real and personal way. Our doxology and benediction. Preachers,
him all preachers, hear me,
Lord, praise him above,
ye heavenly hosts, praise Father,
may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us all now, henceforth, and forevermore. The love of the Father, grace of the Son, communion with the triune God. These three are one.
Amen.
For the Father. Are one. God bless you. God keep you. And may heaven continue to smile on you. God has been so good to me, and I just can't tell it all.